That was awesome. I gave my all so that you might give me your all. Isn't that something? You know, which is what God's word says. And, you know, Romans 12 says we're to be living sacrifices. And, you know, sometimes the flesh side of men, you know, hear something like that or look at something like that and think, geez, that's a little bit unreasonable. But it's not. You know, what God has done for us is breathtaking. And the more time we spend in God's word and, you know, put these things on, the bigger and more real it is, because that's what's real. You know, the things we heard in manifestations, that's what's real. You know, last week we looked at some things regarding the two kingdoms. And that kingdom of darkness is always fronting itself as what's real. And that the things of God and the things that have been accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ are less than or some future thing, or that's a lie. That's a lie. It's all he's got. It's all he's got. He's got deception. He's got lies. That's what he's got. Okay. And what we're going to look at this morning is that, you know, we are fully equipped here. You know, those two kingdoms, and we're going to take a brief look. Well, I don't know that we need, well, maybe we will. We're going to take a brief look at a parable that we looked at a few weeks back. As a matter of fact, let's do that. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. And what we're going to see here, I mean, we've seen from God's word how that Jesus Christ has accomplished all that was required to bring to pass a heaven and earth that God desires. That is going to happen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, where all things are going to be brought together in Christ. Those things that are in heaven, those things that are on earth. Jesus Christ redeemed it all. Isn't that amazing? But for now, what I'd like to just sort of consider this morning is that we are fully equipped, not only to stand against the wiles of the adversary, but to walk and to make known the Lord Jesus Christ, to grow the kingdom of God that we've been placed in because we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I wanted to go back to Matthew chapter 5, and I should probably turn there. Matthew chapter 5. And this is the parable. It starts in verse 24 of the tares. I think it's Matthew. Is it Matthew 5? Oh, I'm sorry, Matthew 13. I apologize. We are going to consider once something in Matthew 5 a little later. I had that on my brain. Matthew 13, verse 24. It says, in another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. This was a deliberate action. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? From whence hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, no. While you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together. until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. If we go down to verse 36, here is where he explains this parable to his men. Jesus sends the multitude away, and he went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that sowed good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world or the age. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered to and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. Isn't that something? He is speaking about some things in the future that we're not going to take time right now to look at. But the point that I want to draw or kind of zero in on is that in the parable, these tares, which represent the children of the wicked one, and the wheat, which represented the children of the kingdom, were to grow together. Okay, were to grow together. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and we're just going to read a few verses here. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And here is just an incredible verse. Something that you could really spend some time chewing on and working in God's Word. But verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God and our Father. Number one, it was Jesus Christ. Remember we heard in manifestations, I gave my all. Jesus Christ sacrificed himself, it says, for our sins. The guilt of sin and the consequences of that sin that was brought into the world have been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're free from that. We're free from that. And the reason why I want to stress that, and I know you guys know this, is because this is something, this is a, one of those things that the adversary, he works. See, our flesh has a hard time with this sometimes. That we are totally accepted by God the Father because we believed on Jesus Christ. And there is, he sees us as he sees Jesus Christ. We are completely free from that stuff. We are free to grow in, grow with, and walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? And that's what he opens up Galatia with, because they were getting caught up in some flesh stuff, which we're not going to take time with. But that's the opening. He paid for our sins, see? And then it says that he might deliver us from this present evil age. we've seen from Colossians 1, we've read it a number of times over the past few weeks, how that we have been transferred, right, from the exercise, power, or authority of darkness into the what?
Kingdom.
Into the kingdom of his dear Son. Isn't that something? We have not yet been delivered from the presence of evil. But we've been delivered from its authority. We've been delivered from its power. We've been delivered from its dominion. And the word is very, very clear regarding that. Very clear. Ephesians chapter 1. We've been blessed with what?
All
spiritual blessings. You know what that means? That means all. All there is. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. You know? At the end of that chapter, let's just turn there real quick. Let's just read it. Ephesians chapter 2 or 1. Verse 19. You know, and I'll tell you, well, let's read verse 18, because this is part of a prayer, and this is sort of ties in with what we're going to consider this morning. It says that the eyes, verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding or your heart being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, or his ability to overcome, or his ability to prevail, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. When he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, God prevailed over all the stuff that the adversary had managed to do, going back to Genesis chapter 3. It's done. The victory is won. Isn't that beautiful? And then it says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, or in the heavenly realm, or in the heavenlies. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the what? That's right. That's where God dwells. That's pretty good. Right? And then it says, at his own right hand in the heavenly realm, far above, not just above, but far above, all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, and that put all things where? Under his feet. And gave him to be head over all things to the church. See? It's the fullness of him that fills all. It's all and in who? All. Now go to 2. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive, what? Together. With Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up, what? Raised us up together. We're raised with Christ. That's our perspective. That's how we see things. And we'll look at that very briefly here in a few minutes. But we are seated in the heavenlies. We have evil in our presence, but in terms of our place, in terms of our authority, in terms of our rights, our privileges, our abilities, where are we seated? That's right. What kingdom do we belong to? Right? That's it. We don't belong to this kingdom. It's beautiful. It's just so beautiful. You know? We made Jesus Christ Lord. He is the authority in our life. He's the authority. Jesus Christ. And what he's done. were seated in the heavenlies. Then it says, and we were made to sit together, raised up together, and made to sit together in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. See, you know, and that sit together is really beautiful because he is seated where? At the right hand of the Father, far above all principalities, and we are seated with who? With Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That's our perspective. That's how we look at this. And that's what God encourages us to do. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Boy, these are just such great things to think about. You know, again, Colossians 1, we've been moved, you know, from that authority, from the authority of darkness. And I want to pick it up here in chapter 2, verse 18. You know, the verse following, you know, let's just read it. We're just going to go back. You might have to flip a page, Colossians 1. I want to read that verse. Verse 13, and then we're going to read 14 here. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption, and it should read, the forgiveness of sins. You know what that means? That means that we are completely and totally released from any debt. We have no debt. We are free men and women. Isn't that something? To walk by that life which God has given us as children of light. Now, let's go to chapter 2. It says, this is one of those chapters. Okay, where do we start? Well, let's start in verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, I'd like to close with a word of prayer now. No. Hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. You know, he paid the price. He fulfilled the law. We have nothing against us anymore. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary or a self-prescribed, you know, a self-indulging humility is what it means. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Let no man, don't let anybody do that. Our Lord's Jesus Christ, nobody else. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary or a self-serving humility and worshiping of angels, intruding. Literally, you could translate this as stepping into. I'll tell you what comes to mind when I read that. Anyway, stepping into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding or adhering to the head, from which all the body, by the joints and bands, it should read, increases with the increase of God. And then you have a parenthetical phrase in the middle there. Having nourishment ministered and knit together. We are in Christ. Christ is the head of this thing. He's our Lord. We've subjected ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not subject to the darkness of this world. We're not subject to the lies of this world, which is basically where this is going to go. We're free from that. And then it says, wherefore? Wherefore? It's a good question. If you're dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to its ordinances or rules? This word rudiments, it's literally, it's a word that means elemental spirits. But the understanding of it is, it's the way the world thinks. You are dead with Christ. Why would you think like the world thinks? Why would you accept their way of thinking? See what I'm saying? The world's way of thinking is rooted in darkness. We belong to who? Right? We belong to Christ. Isn't that something? We've been fully equipped to do this. Let both go together. But we're light. We're light. And God has given us His Spirit. He's given us His Word to be able to not only stand, but make known the gospel. So that others can be transferred from the exercise authority of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Isn't that cool? It's pretty neat. So why are you subject to its rules? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines, or the commandments, the rules, and the teachings of men. Which thing have a show of wisdom? You know, they look wise. I remember back in the 70s. It was a crazy time. You can tell by the way people dressed. But anyway, that's when I got in the Word. And I remember, it was just before I got in the Word, I lived a little south of San Francisco. I'm not making this up. There was some guy, he was crawling on his knees from L.A. to San Francisco to because he was like a holy man. And I thought, okay, fine. By the time you're done with that, you're going to be about 3 feet tall. You're not going to have any knees left. Isn't that insane? But this is the lengths. I mean, that's kind of an absurd example. And we're not going to fall for something like that. You know. But what happens is, you know, the world chips away. It does chip away. And sometimes, you know, we're sitting here in this room, we're among saints. And, you know, we talk about the forgiveness of sins. Well, yeah. You know, we're righteous before God. Well, yeah. You know? But when you're in the world, and, you know, a little trouble comes, you know, a little pressure, a little this, a little that, because these things are going to happen. You know? See, that's when, boy, that's when these things need to be built in our heart. Where you just, your heart, it's settled. God's my Father. That's the end of it. Yeah, but shut up. It's just so beautiful. It's so simple. Then it goes on here in chapter 4. This is so great. If, or since you then be risen with Christ, is really the heart of it, the understanding of it. Since you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? That's how we think. Where Christ sits on the right hand of God. See, that's how we see this thing. That's how we view this thing. And the more and more we build that perspective, the less intimidating this place is. It really is. You know, you see yourselves as belonging to God. You are seated in the heavenlies. That's where our life is hid. Set your affection, your thinking, your heart, your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. See? Because you died. It's a, how it should read. It's you died. And your life is hid with Christ in God. You know, we've got the life of God born within right now. And we have tremendous things available to us. We have Spirit. We have the manifestations of Spirit. We've got the Word of God. We've got the ability to make known the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got the ability to love like God loved. It's just amazing. We have, and we'll see in a few minutes, how God, you know, how He's faithful to us as children when we, you know, seek to bless and minister others or to make known the gospel. You know, He's faithful to do that. But what we ultimately will have, it's yet to be fully revealed. We get little glimpses. You know, that's all we get. I love it. It's like, you know, the gathering. We're going to meet Christ in the air. There's a play, another verse where it says that He will present us with you. We're going to be presented to God with Jesus Christ. I don't know what that looks like. Yeah, right? But it's good stuff. It's good stuff. You know, Hebrews, it says He's going to roll up the heavens like a scroll. He's going to create a new heavens and a new earth. Any clue what that's going to look like? I don't know. I bet you all of us are going to be there like this, though. Yeah. It's just, you know, what we have coming. And when we speak God's word, this is what we make available to people, for them to take part in it. Pretty amazing. In the middle of this evil age, then it says in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. These are all familiar verses to all of us. But you know, in terms of let both grow together, we are fully equipped. Isn't that great? We are fully equipped. Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to pick it up in verse 7. It says, only let your conversation. Now, this word conversation, it means to live as a citizen. It's citizenship. Let your citizenship be as it becometh. I'm in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27.
Oh,
7. Oh, did I? I'm sorry. You know, verse 7 is a great verse, too. But because in verse 7 you really see Paul's heart for these believers. But in verse 27, which is what we're talking about, it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh, or it's worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's something. We live like citizens of the gospel. And whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving or contending together for the believing of the gospel. Verse 28, and in nothing, terrified or intimidated by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token. It's a demonstration of perdition, or of their destruction is what that means. See? Because we belong to who? We belong to Jesus Christ. He's our Lord. We belong to God. We're children of the kingdom. We're children of light. And in nothing we're to be intimidated by our adversaries. We've been delivered out from that authority. And when we walk like that, you know what that is? That's a token to them. That's a taste of their future destruction. Isn't that something? Verse 29. Well, to them, an evident token of destruction, but to you, of deliverance. To you, of deliverance. And that, and it should read, from God. We've been delivered. And our deliverance comes from God. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're almost done here. 1 Peter chapter 3. You know, we're going to see here in these next few verses, but, you know, it says in Colossians, it says, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye what?
Reconciled
to God. Jesus Christ, as our Lord, has entrusted those of his church with making known the gospel regarding him. Now, the way we do that, one way we do that is by speaking the gospel, speaking things regarding Jesus Christ. Another way we do that is to live it. But if I'm going to live it, I need to believe it. See? And I need to believe it to the end that it has an impact on my life. And you know what? People see that. See? They see it. You know, one of the great ways, you know, in the Gospels, in John, regarding love. By this they'll know. We love like that. And we can love like that because of the Spirit of God that we have born. Isn't that something? These are ways in which we make known the gospel. Make known Jesus Christ. Here in 1 Peter, and like this is another familiar section, but verse 13 is where we're going to start in chapter 3. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? I think that word followers is the word for zealous. If you're, you know, zealous of things that are good. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be what?
Troubled.
So in contrast to that, see, and this is an issue of the heart. This is an issue of the heart. It says, so, but in contrast to that, in contrast to being terrified, but sanctify, that means to set apart, and it should read, the Lord Christ. That's how it reads. Sanctify or set apart, the Lord Christ. Christ in your where?
Hearts.
In your hearts. And be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Why would somebody ask you about the hope in you?
See something.
They see something. That's exactly right. They see something. Why do they see something? Because you've sanctified the Lord Christ in your heart. You know what that means, really? A simple way to understand it? You gave him a room. That's where he lives, the Lord Christ. See? That's what's in your heart. And so you live in light of who you are in Christ. You live in light of what Christ has made you. Isn't that something? And when we live that way, people are going to like... And I'm sure many of you have had that happen. You know? But they ask... You know, what's with you? You know, it's just wonderful. It's a blessing. Because you've sanctified the Lord Christ. You're ready. You're not terrified. You're not intimidated when everybody else is freaking out. Boy, you've got a faithful Heavenly Father. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's something. And you've been delivered from the authority of this place. See? And everything's been paid. You got nothing to earn. You believed on Jesus Christ. He earned it. So we sanctify the Lord Christ in our hearts, and that's, we're ready to give an answer to every man that asks us the reason of the hope that is in you. Isn't that something? And you know, we speak God's word and we live God's word. And you know, and there will be those, next verse talks about it. You know, they speak evil of you. But boy, when you've sanctified the Lord Christ in your heart, they end up being ashamed. That's something. It's a beautiful thing. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, and then we're going to close in 2 Corinthians. Philippians chapter 2. This is one of my favorite chapters in God's Word. It's so loaded. Let's start in verse 9. It says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. And this, of course, is speaking regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself under the most horrific death on our behalf. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should read is to bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue is to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is going to happen. Isn't that amazing? Now, we've already done that. He's our Lord. Okay? And we sanctify the Lord Christ in our heart. He's our Lord. See? And that day will come when all... Oh, boy. It's just, for some folks, it's going to be like, whew, you are Lord. You know, it's... He is Lord because God made him Lord. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed God, this is what it's referring to, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own deliverance with fear and trembling, or reverence and obedience, for it is God which works in you both to will and to what?
Amen.
That's right. This working out your own deliverance, you know, It's building it. You are what the Word of God says you are, and you have what the Word of God says you have. You've been made what the Word of God says you've been made. And what's really cool is we're not on our own to do that. But with some reverence and with obedience, the next verse says what? God. He works in us to what? To will, that means to want to desire, and then to what? Do. His good pleasure. And that's an unconditional thing. That's all who have his life born within. That's unconditional. You could have just gotten in the Word yesterday, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's God that works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Isn't that amazing? Because Christ paid the price. And then it says, verse 14, so do all things without murmurings and disputings. And it just basically means, in a nutshell, it's to complain. You just kind of grumble about it. Doesn't that sound goofy? But you know what happens. You know, Father might tell you, work in your heart, and you know, you need to call so-and-so. It's 5 in the morning. I'm not going to call him at 5 in the morning. You ever have anything like that happen to you? Sure. See, but we just get better at it. We keep building God's word in our heart, and we keep building these great truths about where we're seated, where our life is in. And that, and we just, and we walk, and we manifest Christ. We manifest Christ. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse age, among whom you shine as what? Lights in this world. It is a corrupt age. But we're seated in the heavenlies. See? It's so beautiful. When we sanctify the Lord Christ in our hearts, and we really build this stuff, that's what enables us to walk more and more unmixed from this dark and perverse age. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that simple? And we're equipped with all this stuff. We have the ability to do it. And then it says, verse 16, well, I better read 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse age, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You shine as lights. You remember the parable, we're not going to turn there, but, it was Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, and he is teaching about the kingdom of God. And he says, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? See? And then he says, what man, having a candle or a light, puts it under a bushel to hide it? We don't want to do that. We want to put the word on. Sanctify the Lord Christ in our hearts. Don't argue with God when he works in your heart. You know, and we just get better and better and better, and we hold on to the word. We hold it. See? We shine as lights. Isn't that something? That's right. It's pretty awesome. Holding that word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain nor labored in vain. Let's close in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this stuff is real. This really is who we are. This really is what we are. Jesus Christ paid an incredible price for this. In chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1. There's a context to this. We're not going to get into all that. But therefore, seeing we have this ministry, it's referring to regarding the ministry of the Spirit that is talked about in chapter 3. But it says that we have received mercy, we faint not. We're not discouraged. We're not discouraged. But have renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Nothing to hide is basically what that means. See, the context here is it's referring to Paul and those men that were with him, but it's an example to all. It's an example to all. You know, we're to imitate Paul. We're to imitate his believing. It says a number of places in the Word. See? Well, Paul, by his life, by his life, exuded, demonstrated. He didn't have to have letters of commendation proving who he was. Do you understand? His life just manifested it. See? Isn't that something? It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are perishing, lost or perishing, in whom the God of this age has blinded the minds or the thinking of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image or the representative of God, should shine unto them. Isn't that great? Then it says, we preach not ourselves, but who? Christ Jesus the Lord. See? It's beautiful. This preaching Jesus Christ and not preaching ourselves, this is all a part of building the Word of God, sanctifying Jesus Christ in your heart. See? And we preach Christ. We preach, we make known Christ. We make Him known by our lives and then our words. See? And we direct people to the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can believe on Him. Isn't that beautiful? You know, and there is a God of this age, and He blinds the minds. Look at what Jesus Christ did is real. The deliverance that He wrought is real. What He has available to men is real. The devil knows that. That's why he's always after the Word. Always after the Word. See? Well, we make known the Word, and we do it by our lives, and we are not under His authority, and we're not intimidated by Him or by darkness. We're free. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. Verse 6, I love this verse. It says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. I mean, we can't even, that's, what a mind picture. Total darkness. You're referring back to Genesis. And God said what? It must have been amazing. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something, when this really starts to be understood, who we are in Christ and what God has accomplished, that light shines just like it's being described here. Isn't that something? It's just boom. You know, when that thing starts to really come together and make sense for a believer. And that's what people see. And that's what people see. It says, but we have this treasure in what? That the excellency of the power may be of who? You know, we can't do this stuff without God. We can't do this stuff without the Spirit of God. No can do. Isn't that something? It's in these earthen vessels. It's really amazing. But our life is hid with Christ. Rather than, our focus, our efforts, which is how the world works. It's one of the elemental principles of the world, is to concentrate on the earthen vessel, to be all, right? We're free from that. Because our life is hid with Christ. Isn't that something? And we have a treasure to offer and to live and to manifest. You know, and it's that power of God that's been born within each one of us that have called on the name of Jesus Christ. So, we may grow together, but we're light. All right? Amen. So, that's what I wanted to share, and I'm going to